Well, over the last month or so, we've been talking about to Puerto Rico with love. And of course, in the past week or so, we've had 70 folk in Puerto Rico, and they all made it back safely, to the best of my knowledge. Is this correct, Josh? Okay, thumbs up on that. About 50 of them are probably sleeping it off this morning, but I hope they can join us by next Sunday. They'll tell you about what they did, what they experienced, what maybe they're beginning to understand they took away from the experience, maybe how some other people experienced them. What I want to say this morning is I am convinced that they left behind a legacy of love in action, that for many of them, at least several new relationships began to take life and to flourish, that they had an experience of learning what it is to work in the name of Jesus Christ, exhibiting the image of Christ in action to others. And what I want to say to you about them this morning is I suspect many of them in one way or another returned home last night changed, at least a little. Changed in some way from the persons they had been before they went. Now we'll hear that next week, but what I also want you to understand is what they did represents something that's really been going on with the followers of Christ for almost 20 centuries. Christians in all times, in all places, have done things like this ever since that day before his ascension when Jesus said to his followers, I want you to go. I want you to tell people. I want you to teach people. I want you to baptize people. I want you to be me to people. That's what he was saying. I want you to go and be my face, my hands to others. Now, we label that the Great Commission. And ever since the day when Jesus spoke those words, Christians, Christ followers like you and me in different eras, have had to live with the words. Now, I want to be honest with you. Sometimes they've lived with them quite well. Sometimes they've lived with them in unhealthy ways. One of my favorite stories out of the ancient world of Rome was one of the early emperors who became a Christian conquered a tribe of non-Christians, people who worshipped a pagan pantheon, and he converted them all to Christianity by marching them into the river and giving them a choice. You could be baptized, become a Christian, or be put to the sword. That's unhealthy when dealing with the Great Commission. But we've always had to live with those words. Ways unhealthy, ways healthy. Now, as a Christ follower, I've been living with the Great Commission for a long time, and the longer I live with the Great Commission, the more I have come to admit, realize, and embrace that it applies to me. I think that's the first step in dealing with the Great Commission. We really have to come to grips with the idea that these words, like all the words of Jesus, apply to each of us, and that includes me. This commission cannot be farmed out. It cannot be handed off to others, though Lord knows we often try to do so. We want to leave it to the professionals, to the clergy, or to the missionaries, or to maybe that handful of lay people we look at and say, oh, they've got a special gift for that. We want to farm it out many times. We think maybe we can reserve it for the called, but that's because we misunderstand what it means to be called. How many of you know what it really means to be called into ministry? I didn't think I'd see a hand go up because you're afraid I would ask you to tell the rest of us, right? Let me tell you what it really means to be called to ministry. It means you've been snagged by God. He just came along and snagged you, pulled you into a lifestyle in which, to the best of your ability, however imperfectly, you are to become a living model of what it means to be an individual who is earnestly trying to seek and follow the will of God and doing it in front of other people. To be called is to be snagged into a lifestyle in which your spirituality, for better or worse, on your good days and in your bad days, is on display for the sake of others. So yes, the Great Commission is part of that calling, but it is not exclusive to the called. It belongs to all of us. So this morning, what I want to do in a few moments is talk about some of what I think I've learned in dealing with these words that apply to me and which apply to you. what does it mean to deal well with the Great Commission? Well, for me at least, it has always pushed me to become and to go on being a student, a learner. Now, I have a very particular thing in mind of which I am a student, and that thing or that person is quite simple, Jesus. If I am going to make the Great Commission my commission, I must learn more and more and more about the one who gives it. And his name is Jesus. If I'm going to be the hands and face of God as Jesus is and reveals God, then I must begin to understand Jesus better, to reinterpret all of Scripture in light of the Jesus I'm getting to know better and better, to reinterpret all of Christian history and Christian dogma and theology in light of this Jesus I'm getting to know better and better, to reinterpret my own life, reformulate my understanding of myself in light of this Jesus I'm getting to know better and better. If I'm going to make the Great Commission my commission, I had better get to know Jesus really, really well and to recognize that I'm never finished with the task. There is no faith once delivered. There's a faith in process all the time. If I'm to make the Great Commission my commission, I must learn more and more about this Jesus until I reach a point where I'm talking about someone I know. And his name is Jesus. So you move beyond theology. You move beyond dogma. You move beyond ethics. And it all becomes relational. Making the Great Commission my commission requires that I go on learning about Jesus until John's words about Jesus become my words. God is love. And until those words become real to me, I'm not quite there yet. So in my own case, that's the Jesus I share with others. And that's the Jesus I invite them to follow. Now here's the thing about learning about Jesus. You can do it. You too can do it. The real question on a morning like this is, will you make a conscious decision to get started or to rev it back up and get moving? This Great Commission, it's really trying in some ways. When I take the Great Commission seriously, I find that it requires that I seek out and begin to engage literally all kinds of people. I detest the translation of the Great Commission that we find in all modern versions of Scripture. It says all nations, and you and I start thinking geography and boundaries and governmental systems. That's not what Jesus meant. A better translation would be all peoples. An even better translation would be all peoples wherever they're found and of whatever kind they may be. That's what Jesus is saying. You go to every kind of person imaginable in all the geography of the world. Seek them out and engage them. Now, this is a nightmare for me. If you want to know how an extrovert does this, see Josh. It's that simple. I'm an introvert. Entering into new environments, new relationships is hard work for me, and it always will be. So what I want to tell you about is how it works for me. And then you can grab Josh afterwards if you're an extrovert. For me, it actually began when I was an older child and a very young Christ follower. It continued throughout high school and middle school and all that. And here's how it really worked. I began to meet a variety of people by simply taking whatever seat was available wherever I found myself. You know how it is when you go into a school cafeteria or an auditorium or you're at a ball game. Who do you seek out and sit with? I'll watch you all the time. You seek out and sit with the same five people over and over again, don't you? Whatever your circle of friendship is. Well, I wasn't the popular kid, so I had to take whatever seat was left. Guess what happened? Other kids sat near me, and I began to meet and to hear from and to talk with people I never otherwise would have met simply because I was taking the seat available. Works on planes, works on buses, works in churches, works in schools, works even in larger extended family units, works when you're out in the business world. Simply taking the seat, so to speak, available to you and paying attention to those who gather around you helps you start to seek out and go to all kinds of people. In my case, learning to seek out and engage all kinds of people got factored into reading, too, because I was and am a reader. I began to read books written by people who were from other parts of the world, other cultures, other times, and whose take on God, if they had a take on God, and whose take on life, perspective on what worked, what didn't in life, was different from mine. I began to read fiction of many kinds. And here's the trick about fiction. Fiction, if you're going to read it well, just like a good movie, you've got to let yourself be drawn into the mind and the hearts of the characters there and begin to try and see through their eyes, feel with their hearts, embrace their experience. It's called empathy. It's in short supply these days. If you're going to do the Great Commission, you've got to run the risk of becoming empathetic. It's that simple. And for me, it began to happen by taking the seat available to me, by reading about people who were not like me. It continued in my life as I chose, at least occasionally, to become a writer. Because it's funny, when you start writing about the Jesus you know, people start writing you back. Are calling you, emailing you, texting you, walking up to you at a conference of some kind. So here's what I'm saying. To engage all kinds of people is not rocket science. There's a way to do it for anyone of any temperament, any skill set, any outlook on life. This is how it's worked for me. What I would say to you is basically take hold of the opportunities which actually come your way and engage the various kinds of people you encounter in those settings. Work hard at listening well. Work hard at trying to begin to see life through their eyes, feel life through their eyes. And this is what will happen to you. You'll be led, I think, by God, to meet, to get to know, and to engage individuals from other world religions, people of other races, people whose take on life is very different from your take on life. You'll be led to meet and begin to engage and get to know agnostics, some who think themselves to be atheists, seekers, and such. This approach has led me into ongoing conversations and relationships with people who find it hard to trust anyone. It really has. And into ongoing relationships and conversations with people whose ways of life are quite different from my way of life. That's Great Commission work. We seek others where they are, as they are, through the avenues actually available to us as we are. And you learn some things along the way. One of the things I've learned, if you're actually going to seek out and engage a wide variety of people, you've got to lay aside all preconditions for entering into and going on with conversations. If you're not willing to lay down your preconditions, you're not going to meet the people God wants you to meet and that God needs you to meet. Instead, you're always going to be picking and choosing and reeling in and casting out. That's not Great Commission work. Lay down your preconditions. Live dangerously with God. So, I'll tell you, I'm never going to become an extrovert, and you can just stop trying to make me one. I'm never going to be an extrovert. I'm never going to feel naturally comfortable in new settings or new relationships, but I have found that living life without fear puts me in touch with a wide variety of people with all nations, so to speak. And what I'm telling you this morning is you can do it too. You'll have to do it in the context of your own gifts, your own skills, your own temperaments, your own opportunities, but you can embrace engagement. The real question this morning is, will you choose to start to do so or choose to rev it back up? The Great Commission, at least in my case, it requires that I help people prepare to move into a lifetime of following Jesus and walk alongside any of them who choose to do so. Now, I've got to tell you, these ongoing conversations I'm referencing this morning do not always or even the majority of the time lead to people becoming Christ followers. Sometimes it's the relationship that endures and nothing else. And that's okay because it's more than was in place before the relationship began. I have no quotas. I don't sit down every week and say, oh, that's five for God. But what I do have, because I am a Great Commission person, is an absolute commitment to stay in conversation, to never walk away from someone. And on occasion, someone expresses an interest in exploring what it would be to become a follower of Jesus Christ. And when they do, there's a relationship in place. And I can tell them what I know about following Christ. I don't have this little checklist, these four spiritual laws or anything else, but this is what I usually share with them. I remind them the decision is theirs, and I'll honor their decision. I remind them that the God I know in Christ welcomes them as they are. I remind them that the God I know in Christ, if they come to Him, will draw them into some form of Christian community because no one gets to go through life alone in Christ. I will remind them that Christ will start to work with them when they commit themselves to Him, and He will continue to work with them to change them into a person who increasingly says to God, "Not my will, but yours be done." And that I can't promise them where that will take them in the end, but that it's real. And then I walk alongside them, as long as I'm allowed by God or by the person. I walk alongside them as their sibling in Christ, as their friend in Christ, so that they need never be alone on the journey. Seems to me that's part of being a Great Commission person. We don't baptize them, plunk them down in the church, and move on to the next person. We go with them. So, that's how the Great Commission works for me. And I'm pretty sure you too can do this kind of thing in your own way, with your own gifts, your own skills, your own temperament, your own opportunities. But you can do this, and you're called to do it. The question is, will you make a conscious decision to get started or to rev it back up? So here's the reality. Jesus gave this commission to all His people, which means you and me, among others. Here's the reality. You and I cannot imagine or forecast all that may come our way if we accept and begin to live into and live out the Great Commission. That's normal. That's okay. Here's the reality. A few of us will have a wider range of experiences than others. That's okay too. But mark it down. Each of us, all of us, are called to accept it as our personal commission. And all of us are called to fashion ways in which to live it out. Now this morning, in a few moments, we're going to have a time of public response. And during that time of public response, if you are willing, in effect, to say to God, I accept the commission of Christ as my commission, I will attempt to fashion ways to live it out. Well, I want you to come up and take one of the Sharpies that are up here with the artwork our children prepared and just sign your name to this little symbol of the Great Commission and how God holds all peoples in His hands and wants us to go and seek them. So you do that. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. You don't have to write in letters large. Just write. while that is happening, I'm going to be standing over here to this side. And if you're here this morning and you want to begin your walk with Christ, you come talk to me. I'll help. If you want to make this your church home, you come talk to me. I'll help. If you have other decisions or quandaries you want to begin to talk about, you come over here. We'll get started. We're going to have a word of prayer. After that, we're going to move into this time of response. Don't wait for others. You take your own action. Let's pray. And now, God, I ask that you indeed touch us. Touch our hearts. Touch our minds. Touch us in whatever way you need to touch us. And help us to embrace this commandment, this commission Christ gave us, not as burden, not as something fearful, but as something that can over time become part of our natural way of walking with Christ. Bless each person here this morning and strengthen the will of each person here this morning who chooses to consciously make the Great Commission his or hers. Bless and strengthen the courage and will of those who come this morning thinking about becoming a Christ follower, thinking about making this the home in which they follow Christ, thinking about other decisions. Take this time and help us to use it as you would have us use it. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand and sing and respond?